Rabbaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I am just going to pick a verse just at random. Yes. Connected with Julan Yatra, I was asked to say something about Julan Yatra. And of course, today is the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Gauridas Pandit. So let us sing. We will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, The Gopis Search for Krishna, Text 28. Anaya radito nunam, Bhagavan Harir Ishvara, Yanno vihaya Govinda, Prito yam anaya draha. Translation. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the word Aradita refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, the sage Shukadev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy, and thus the word Aradita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Sri Ujjvala Nilamani. So, the rest of the purport is quoting Srila Rupa Goswami. At the base of the large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barley corn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella. And below the umbrella is a bracelet. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large and second toes. At the base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that is a flag with a banner, and below the flag is a creeper together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goat, and upon her heel is a half moon. Thus, there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of the large toe of her right foot is a conch shell, and below that a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar. Below that an earring, and below the earring a spear. Along the base of the second, third, fourth, and small toes is the mark of a mountain, below which is a chariot, and on the heel is a fish. Thus, altogether, there are 19 distinguishing marks on the soles of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Anaya Radito Nuna Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yan Novihaya Govinda Prito Yam Anayad Raha. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschityade Jatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vachkalpacharubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha paditanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So I was asked to say some words about Julan Yatra, or, as it's officially known, Radha Govinda Julan Yatra. And today is the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Gauri Das Pandit. So, well, every day in Krishna consciousness, every day is a festival. Just because Krishna consciousness is so festive. But then again, on every day, any day of the year is the anniversary of many very significant, very wonderful, different pastimes and events and happenings in the history of Krishna consciousness. There's no limit. And even though today is part of Julan Yatra, which of course goes on, we celebrate generally for 5 days. In some circles they celebrate for 13 days. So even though it's one of the days in the period of Julan Yatra, but we also have the observances of the disappearances of these two great devotees, and doubtless there are many more events which we are not aware of at this stage. So this verse, which we chose at random, just happens to be a very important verse. And again, like every day is an occasion of the anniversary of many wonderful events, so Srimad Bhagavatam is also every verse in one way or another, or in many ways. Every verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is very significant and very wonderful. So, So that is the case. But then this verse is particularly wonderful. And it's a very famous verse, actually. Somehow or other, we settled on that, on this verse, because this is the only verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which, not even exactly directly, but sort of directly, indirectly directly, mentions Srimati Radharani. Anaya radito nuna. Anaya. Anaya. By her. Aradita. Perfectly worshipped. Nuna. Certainly. Bhagavan Hariyar Ishvara. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, has been perfectly worshipped by this particular gopi. Yanno vihaya govinda. And therefore, he, Govinda, Govinda of course means he satisfies the senses. He is the Lord of the senses. So, but he also has senses. And Govinda, in that context, can indicate the Lord in this feature that he becomes satisfied, his senses, and he, because he and his senses are one, he becomes satisfied by the service of the devotees. And in this case, in this verse, that devotee who is giving that ultimate satisfaction to the senses of the Lord means to the Lord is Srimati Radharani, ahead of anybody else. So it's very, very wonderful verse. And indeed, Julan Yatra, historically, Radha Govinda Julan Yatra is connected with, there's a particular pastime of Radha and Krishna which is sort of the root of it, but then there are numerous other pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna in which they swing on a julan or a swing. Traditionally, the idea is that Srimati Radharani, during the hot summer and the beginning of the rainy season, Srimati Radharani was living in Yavat, the place of her husband and her mother-in-law, the famous Abhimanyu and Jatila. So she was being kept there, sort of captive, kind of captive, effectively captive. Not that she wanted to be there, but she was there. And then a few days, right at the beginning of the month of Shravan, which is now, a few days before we celebrate Julan Yatra, then Srimati Radharani's brother, Sridhar, came and visited Srimati Radharani in Yavat. Did they talk about this yesterday? Okay, anyway. So this is, at least traditionally, how things are explained. That Sridhar came from Varshana, because at that point, in the later part of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Vrajmandala, so Maharaj Rishabhanu Well, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they were living in Nandagram, and Maharaj Rishabhanu and Mother Kirti Dan, they are living in nearby Varshana. And their son, the brother of Srimati Radharani, Sridhar, he was living with them in Varshana. So, right on the first day of the Shravan month, Sridhar came and visited Srimati Radharani, who was transcendentally struggling there in Raval in separation from Lord Krishna. Of course, Lord Krishna, he would regularly visit and try to visit, and all sorts of exciting pastimes took place as Lord Krishna would try to enter and meet with Srimati Radharani. So on this day then, on that day, Sridhar visited Raval, and Jatila, the mother-in-law, allowed him to enter and meet with Srimati Radharani. The other cowherd boys she would generally not allow, at least not easily, and she was hesitant, even in the case of Sridhar, but he is Srimati Radharani's brother, and he did have a message from their parents, so Jatila allowed him to enter. And so Sridhar spoke with Srimati Radharani, and said, you know, we, your family members, we want you to come and spend some time with us in Varshana. Now it is very beautiful because it is the rainy season and everything is growing, all the trees and plants and creepers and flowering plants. Everything is growing very luxuriantly. It's just the best time of the year in Varshana. So we all want you to come and spend this time with us and enjoy the rainy season with us. And we can wander through the hills of Varshana. Those of you who are familiar with that place would know that it is a particularly attractive area. There are nice hills there, particularly five hills or something like that. And even today, there's nice forest in a fair amount of that area. They haven't destroyed it yet. So it really is. It's a special part of Vraj Mandala. And this was the message of Sridhar on behalf of his parents and himself to Srimati Radharani. So, of course, Srimati Radharani, she was very excited to hear that, and very excited at the prospect of seeing her parents and spending some time with them and with Sridhar and her younger sister, Ananga Manjari. She was very excited about that, and very excited to escape from Jatila and Abhimanyu and Kutila and their other cronies or associates. So she was very, very excited. And of course she knew that Varshana Well, it has all these hills and forests and so on, and there are caves. And it's such a place, it's very easy to get lost, and, you know, people can't find you. Whereas Rabaul is not like that, it's just kind of in the middle, just of a relatively flat area. And it's difficult to sneak out or for anyone else to sneak in. So like this, Srimati Radharani thought that in this way, I will be able to meet Krishna more easily. Even before she was married, that was their program. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada, when he visited Varshana with his disciples, he went up to the main temple, famous main temple there, and from the top he was pointing out some things to the disciples, and he didn't get into any elaborate descriptions at all, but Srila Prabhupada did say that yes, Radha and Krishna would meet here. Krishna would be on top of one hill, and Radharani would be on top of this hill, and then they would come down and meet in the valley. Srila Prabhupada said like that to the disciples who were with him at that time. So truly, the Varshana area is deeply saturated with the transcendental loving pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. And Radharani was very excited for these different reasons, and particularly because she knew there would be plenty of opportunities to meet Krishna. So Jatila, Abhimanyu, Kutila and company, they did not, when Sridhar made this appeal, they were not very happy, but what could they do? It is just how things work. The wife, young married woman, it is expected that from time to time she will be able to go home and visit her parents and spend a little time, some time, and then come back, of course. But it is part of the culture that the young married woman from time to time must be allowed to go and visit her parents and spend some time with them. So even though Jatila was not happy, and of course she was extremely suspicious that certain things would happen, she couldn't refuse. So off they went. And they went to Varshana, and Nanda Maharaj's palace, they say, was on top of that main hill where the main temple is now. And Srimati Radharani spent some days just there in the palace, and then what day of the lunar month is it? What day of the lunar month? Is it the 5th? Oh, it's Dwadasi, of course, right. So anyway, after a few days, then she was allowed to go out with her girlfriends. And, well, as we said, there are numerous authoritative accounts of swing pastimes with Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. In that area, one which is described by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is that on the fifth day of the month, Srimati Radharani was allowed to go out. And so she went out with her girlfriends, and they're moving around the Varshana area. And Lord Krishna, of course, was around, and he, by various means, he met with Srimati Radharani. But then, in a very transcendental way, Lord Krishna made Srimati Radharani a little angry. The story goes that they were meeting in the evening or early night, and Krishna was trying to please Srimati Radharani and glorify her and like this. And he was trying to think what to say, and he saw there was very nice full moon, because in Vrindavan every night is full moon. Every night is full moon. So there's a nice full moon, as usual. And Krishna, trying to think what to say to glorify Srimati Radharani, Krishna said, "Actually, you know, your face is so beautiful, it's just like the full moon." Krishna thought he had said something very appropriate, and Radharani would be very pleased. But Radharani looked at the moon and saw the moon had spots, as it does, and became really transcendentally angry with Krishna and just walked away. So that in itself is a long story, but some few days later, Radharani was still feeling in that mood of man, transcendental anger. And Lord Krishna met with his cousin, Kundalata. She is a gopi, of course, and approximately the same age. But she is in Sakya Ras because she's a relative. And as such, there cannot be conjugal relationship. She's a cousin. So their relationship is friends, like that. That type of mood. And there are various others who have that sort of relationship. I mean, gopis who have that sort of relationship with Lord Krishna. So Krishna was meeting with Kundalata and expressing his transcendental frustration at not being able to meet with Radharani. So they made a plan to disguise Krishna as a girl, as a like a city girl from Mathura who was a great singer. Kalavali is the name. This is described in great detail by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So they made this whole conspiracy, dressed Krishna up as a girl quite opulently, a girl from Mathura, Brahmin family in Mathura, who happens to be a great singer. And off they went to meet Srimati Radharani and the gopis, who were at that time on top of what is called Vilasgarh. in Varshana area. It's one of the hills there. On the left, as you walk up the path from the, at least the longer parikrama going through the hills. So Vilaskar, it is said to be the head of Lord Vishnu. So Srimati Radharani was there with the gopis in her mood of transcendental anger, when who should appear on the scene but Kundalata, Krishna's cousin, and this extremely beautiful, just exceptionally beautiful and extremely dark-skinned girl from Mathura, or kind of opulent-looking girl. And so the conspiracy, the plan was that Krishna, as Kalavali, the expert singer, would sing for Radharani and please Radharani, and in that way get her out of her mood of transcendental anger, and then reveal himself. And then Radharani would again accept him. Of course, she always accepts him, but this is the transcendental interaction. So this is what they did. They approached Radharani and the gopis, and Kundalata introduced this girl. She's from a very good family from Mathura. She is a disciple of Brihaspati directly, the guru of the demigods, and he himself is an expert. He's not just guru in the sort of, in the sense of giving transcendental knowledge, but he's also an expert in culture. So this is how Kundalata introduced Kalavali. She has been personally trained by Brihaspati, who is one of the experts in the universe in just about everything, and including and even particularly singing. And of course, unexpectedly, Srimati Radharani and her sakhis, the first question they asked was, she's from Mathura. How did she get trained by Brihaspati? Oh, good question. So Kundalata had to think very quickly, think on her feet. And she made up a story that one of Brihaspati's disciples, also a great sage named Angirasa, that he was visiting Mathura. And he heard her sing and invited Brihaspati, who came and heard her sing, and then took her to the heavenly planets and taught her to sing in all sorts of exceptional ways. And as a result, she's a disciple of Brihaspati. Well, you know, Kundalata is very, very advanced devotee. So when she has to think on her feet, she can really think very nicely on her feet, and came up with this quite convincing story on the spot. So then they asked Kalavali to sing, and she sang. And sure enough, she sang in a completely superhuman way. You know, from low notes, I don't know a lot about music, and certainly not the technicalities of it, but the very low notes up to the super high squeaky notes. Anyway, to the super high notes within like a second or two, just and perfectly hitting all the intermediate and half notes, which is generally not possible for a human being. In fact, not just generally, it's just not possible for a human being. So Radharani and the Sakhis were extremely impressed. They were just so impressed. And Kalavali then sang for some time, and just like the ultimate display of singing skill. And so then Radharani and the gopis, very, very, very pleased. However, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Lalita, in the course of the display, the demonstration by Kalavali, Lalita noticed something. In the sort of waist of Kalavali's beautiful opulent sari was a flute. So Lalita alerted Radharani very discreetly and quietly. So Kalavali and Kundalata did not know that this is actually Krishna. So then Radharani and the gopis hatched a conspiracy of their own. Radharani said, you know, your singing is just so nice. I have to reciprocate. I have to. I'm going to give you a full set of clothes right now. And in fact, with the help of my friends, we will dress you in your new clothes right now. Of course, that would mean that they would discover that it's Krishna. And Kundalata and Kalavali, Krishna, tried to, you know, very artfully avoid this. Kundalata said that my friend Kalavali is devoted to you in the mood of pure bhakti. She does not want anything in like repayment or anything like that. She feels satisfied just having sung for you as a service. So please don't offer her anything. It's just, there's no need. But Radharani insisted, and Kalavali said, well, it will contaminate my mood of devotion if I accept something from you. Plus, these clothes I have are very nice, actually. I'm quite happy with them. And Kundalata said, well, she's a very shy girl. You know, she doesn't want peach. She doesn't like it if people see her not properly dressed and so on. So that's just, you know, some other time. But Radharani and the gopis could not be refused. They forcefully undressed Kalavali. It is slightly X-rated, actually. But anyway, shall we say that in the course of all that, they discovered that it was Krishna. And even though Krishna was trying to resist, so when they realized it was Krishna, and, you know, Krishna, they got to that point and it was just obvious, everyone just dissolved in the Hasya Ras. This is the description of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Hasya Ras, which is a secondary rasa, it comes and goes depending on the circumstances, but it came. And everyone drowned in Hasya Ras, laughing They were just laughing uncontrollably. And who should come on the scene but Jatila? Suddenly, Kalavali, who at this stage is like half-dressed, Kalavali suddenly wrapped her sari around her very quickly, threw herself at the lotus feet of Jatila, and started crying and screaming as if she was just totally distraught. And she told Jatila that, just see what your mother-in-law has done to me. I am her cousin from Mathura, her long-lost cousin. We have not met for years. And now I come, she will not even embrace me. She's just rejecting me. It's terrible. And Kalavali then broke down crying more and more. So it is a bit of a long story, but basically Jatila chastised Radharani. And of course the other gopis couldn't say it's Krishna. It would have just complicated things too much. So they couldn't say anything. And Jatila ordered Radharani that right here and right now in front of me, you embrace your cousin. So Radharani did that. As they say, they all lived happily ever after. So then, Jatila went, leaving Radharani in the good hands of her cousin, Kalavali. And there was a swing there, and there still is, a big, big swing there. Not the original one, but there was a big swing there. And Krishna placed Radharani on the swing and started pushing the swing and pushing it until the swing was practically going around, you know, 360 degrees, and Radharani was panicking. So then Krishna got on the swing and the gopis pushed them, and they say, that is the beginning, that is Radha Govinda Julan Yatra. The original Radha Govinda Julan Yatra, where this famous event we're celebrating now, where it has come from. So Radha and Krishna sat there, then other gopis sat, the swing expanded until there were many, many gopis with Radha and Krishna on the swing, and they happily swung there at Velaska in Varshana area. So Srila Rupa Goswami mention is made here from Ujjvala Nilamani. Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami glorifying, describing Srimati Radharani and glorifying her transcendental qualities in different ways. Here we read the description of her lotus feet, the bottoms of her lotus feet. They have these special, I think, 19 markings. 19 special markings on the soles of the feet of Srimati Radharani. So Srila Rupa Goswami, there's one pastime described in Bhakti Ratnakara. Srila Rupa Goswami chanting Every day he would chant at least one lakh of names and then give class for 3 hours minimum about Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he was chanting and he entered into, in meditation, he entered into Radha Krishna Leela, and Radha and Krishna were being swung by the gopis and by the manjaris. After the swinging pastime, then some sweet rice manifested, and Rupa Goswami, as Rupa Manjari, along with the other sakis and particularly the manjaris, they fed Radha and Krishna the sweet rice. And Radha and Krishna had some sweet rice. It was very nice. And then they told the manjaris, the young gopi assistants, that you can have the rest. So it was a big pot of sweet rice. And the manjaris had so much sweet rice. So much sweet rice. It was practically endless, being a transcendental pot of sweet rice. It was endless. They had so much sweet rice. Of course, not just because they like eating tasty things, tasty prasadam, but because it was nectar embellished by being tasted and touched by Radha and Krishna. So then Srila Rupa Goswami came back to external consciousness, but because it was time to give the daily class for 3 hours. But Srila Rupa Goswami noticed that he had the beginnings of indigestion. Some upset stomach was coming. So he told his assistants that this is the situation. They called a doctor and he took the pulse and said he has indigestion from eating too much sweet rice. Anyway, that's also a long story, and Raghunath Das Goswami becomes involved. But there are many pastimes like this of Julan Yatra and these great devotees participating. Srila Rupa Goswami would travel around Vrajmandala, and there were different places he would stay. He would stay sometimes at Tirkadamba. It is in between Nandagram and Yavat. Yavat, where Radharani was living with her husband and her mother-in-law, and Nandagram, where Krishna was living. So Srila Rupa Goswami would stay there at Tirkadamba some of the time, because it is a great meeting place of Radha and Krishna in between Nandagram and Yavat. And generally Lord Krishna would go out herding the cows early in the morning and with the cowherd boys. Then after some time in the later morning, he would tell the cowherd boys, just wait here somewhere in the fields and forests out from Nandagram. Wait here, I have something to do, I'll be back in a while. And he would go and meet Srimati Radharani at Tirkadamba. So Rupa Goswami, so many pastimes happened there, and Rupa Goswami would stay there, and go into meditation regularly and enter those pastimes and then describe those pastimes. Like, for example, in Ujjvala Neelamani, there are many beautiful descriptions. In Nectar of Devotion, there's so many beautiful descriptions of such pastimes. And it's said that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was partially written at Tir Kadamba. So he would stay there, Rupa Goswami, with a few associates and meditate and write and meditate and write. And there's a description in Bhakti Ratnakara, there's a number of descriptions, that he would be writing, meditating, writing on Radha and Krishna being separated. And he would become overwhelmed with emotions of separation himself. And when he would enter that those types of moods, then all the trees around there, Kadamba trees, they would all drop their flowers as if they were crying, sort of empathizing, entering into the same mood as Srila Rupa Goswami, this mood of intense separation. And then, so he would meditate, and write. And then in a little while, he would write about Radha and Krishna meeting again. And of course, it's all completely ecstatic. But now, when he's in that mood, Radha and Krishna meeting again, it is, you could say, a very jolly type of mood externally. So he'd become externally very happy, and the trees, seeing that, again, they would manifest their flowers. And this would happen on numerous occasions every day. And Bhakti Ratnakara describes that one time, Rupa Goswami was feeling so much separation from Radha and Krishna. He entered the blazing fire of separation. He turned to one of his associates and breathed on that devotee. That devotee got a blister, a heat blister, from the breath of Srila Rupa Goswami at Tir Kadamba. So, Rupa Goswami, most extraordinary personality, and today is his disappearance day, and the disappearance day of Gauridas Pandit. Is there time to just say one thing about Gauridas Pandit?
Yes.
Just one brief thing. That this is also from Bhakti Ratnakara, that Gauridas Pandit had the original Gaunatai deities. And that's also a long story, but anyway, he had them. And he was worshipping them, not far from here. And he would cook for the deities every day. And he would really cook. Many preparations, and just like the whole day till the late afternoon, he was cooking and just doing so many things, preparing big feast for Gaunatai, and then he would offer it, and then he would be exhausted. So one day Gaunatai spoke to him, as they would do from time to time. They said, listen, Gauridas, what you cook for us is very nice, but we see that afterwards you're exhausted and we feel very bad that you are just taxing yourself so much for us. You don't need to do it. We will be happy with just some rice and spinach. Just some rice and shark. That's all. So just don't worry about the big feast. Just make some rice and shark. We'll be happy and you won't be exhausted. And so that'll be nice. So Gauridas, you know, he's a great transcendental character. He looked at them and said, "You don't like my cooking, do you?" And Gauridas said, "No, no, we like your cooking. It's very nice. But we just don't like to see you exhausted." And Gauridas said, "Nah, I know you don't like my cooking." So it went back and forth a bit. And then Gauridas said, "All right, listen, Gauridas, just cook whatever you like. It's okay. Whatever it is, we'll accept." So again, there are many, many beautiful stories about Gauridas Pandit. And they actually, many of them took place here, just nearby. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Do we have time?
In the beginning, you spoke of the gopis referring to Govinda as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But did they understand that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Did they address him like that?
Sometimes. Sometimes. In the Bhagavatam, sometimes they do. In the Bhagavatam, on some occasions. Generally not, but sometimes they do. You know, an interesting description is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in one of his books, that sometimes that sort of realization has to be there to keep the bridge busies grounded. Otherwise their ecstasy would become, it would go too far. So to keep them grounded, sometimes, like Mother Yashoda saw the universe in Krishna's mouth, and the gopis sometimes say they're the maid servants of Krishna, and sometimes they actually refer to him as God, or the super soul sometimes. You know, there are a few places in our literatures. So the example is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of a milkman boiling milk. A milkman, in order to avoid having the milk just boil over and just be spoiled, he puts straw in it. He puts straw in it. And when the milk starts boiling, the straw starts moving, and somehow the straw affects the milk in such a way that it doesn't just boil over. It keeps it kind of controlled. And even you see sometimes these like village milkmen with bicycles, with containers of milk. If you look inside, you'll see there's straw in the milk. So the straw stops the milk from boiling over. But you don't see the straw most of the time. But sometimes it comes to the surface. It's kind of rotating around with the boiling. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the understanding that Krishna is God, sometimes it's like the straw in the milk. Sometimes it comes to the surface. Generally you don't see it. It's covered by the milk of Krishna Prema. But then sometimes it comes up and it's sort of like a stabilizing influence. It actually gives a detailed description. That's just part of it. That Madhurya without a touch of Aishvarya will not be complete. it will not be complete, even as Madhurya, without some touch of Aishvarya. It needs that to become complete. He says, otherwise there may arise the tendency to actually think Krishna's an ordinary person, an actually ordinary person as such, not just in the sense of the rasa, you know, the exchanges under yoga maya, but to actually think he's an ordinary person. So that touch of Aishvarya from time to time keeps a certain perspective, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says. Yes, can you just pass it back? And last one.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for this very inspiring class. When you mentioned about the milk and the straw, I once asked one of those milkmen here in Mayapur why they put straw in those big containers on the cycles. And the answer, see, I didn't know what you said about boiling and the straw, but the reason why they keep the straws in those containers, even though it's gone cold, is because Mayapur is very hot and the milk would go spoil very quickly. The straw also has the effect of preserving the milk from spoiling.
Okay.
And another thing I felt inspired when you mentioned Gauridas Pandit's pastime with Gaur-Nitai, that it seems his ras was very suspicious of them. He didn't really trust Gaur-Nitai because he knew they were tricksters.
Yeah.
And before this pastime, which again I didn't know, it's very beautiful. The original pastime was that they were guests of Gauridas Pandit, and it was time to go, so they asked for his permission. And Gauridas wouldn't give it. He said, no, 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 you're not going anywhere, you're staying here. And so this is why Gaur-Nitai had to manifest the first ever set of Gaur-Nitai deities. They manifested them, and then Gaur-Nitai Pandit was very satisfied that the deities would stay back while Gaur-Nitai would go. But when he saw them leave, he called them back that, no, no, you stay and they go. Let the deities go if they're the same as you are. And so Gaur-Nitai had to honor Gauridas Pandit's faith that the deity is non-different from them. And so the deities went, and then the Gaur-Nitai stayed. But Gauridas Pandit became bewildered, and he called them, the deities, back. No, no, you stay, and they go. So like that, it seems to be the ras between them,
yes.
This transcendental suspicion,
right.
Which I find is absolutely transcendental, it's really beyond anything. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Sri Jyulanyatra ki. Srila Rupa Goswami ki. Srila Gauridas Pandit ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.